£600 bomb left near Newry. The chairman of the Justice Committee at Stormont, the DUP's Paul Given, with us this morning. Morning, Paul.
Good morning, Stephen. Good
morning. In the North Belfast Sinn Féin MLA, Gerry Kelly. Morning to you, Gerry.
Morning, Stephen.
Well, Paul, we can have the usual, and I'm not belittling it. It's very important that you guys say, look, this is wrong, and you have your condemnation. But we've heard that many times in Northern Ireland. Are we getting any closer to stopping these guys?
It wouldn't appear to be the case, Stephen. What concerns me about this particular attempt is the level of sophistication that the police are articulating to the public that was involved in making this bomb. Certainly I was surprised to hear that it was a £600 bomb that had been prepared, and as Barry Ronan has outlined, it would appear on this occasion it wasn't an attempt to try and get a police officer, that this could have been going to a town in Northern Ireland. So that does concern me. Previously...
Well, we just don't know, do we?
No, we don't. But if this is the type of bomb that wasn't really for a passing vehicle, that has been the case in the past, where the primary targets have been the police. And that's why I can understand why the police wanted to ensure that the area was secured as quickly as possible, but in a manner that didn't put at risk the lives of their own officers. So obviously there's a balance that they're trying to strike in protecting the public. But also with the view that they are the primary targets of the terrorist organisations, and ultimately they need to make sure that their officers aren't being exposed to such a high level of risk.
Do you think, Gerry Kelly, this is the dissidence up in the ante? Is this a new level?
No, I don't think it's exactly a new level if you go back some time. I mean, let me say this, if they are capable with homemade explosives of making a £30 bomb, then they're capable of making a £600 bomb. This could have been a massive devastation. Let me say first, I'm glad to see that the weapons and explosives were taken off the streets. But Barney Rowan gave a very, I think, comprehensive account of it there. And one of the things that may have passed people's minds, but when he mentioned the weapons in Ardoran are caught with some drugs, that is a significant... That shows selfishness as opposed to a cause. This is not the first time this has happened. Smaller things which are happening, for instance, the Newington area of North Belfast, a group has been going around called RNU trying to threaten young people as young as 13 and 14, and this has to stop as well. So they are also heavily infiltrated. The fact is that in those three cases, for whatever reasons they are given, certainly they were thwarted in that. And they don't have a purpose. They don't have the support, as Barney Rowan pointed out, to move this whole process forward. So what they are doing, and we have said this on a number of occasions, is they are behaving, if I go away back to the way that some of the loyalists were behaving in terms of all of this. It's more personal than political. And, you know, we do have to remember, although, and I don't want to at all to underplay this, because a £600 bomb, as we've seen in Omagh and other places, can cause massive devastation. But they are not capable of maintaining a campaign. However, they are very, very dangerous people.
Here's Raymond this morning. Morning, Raymond.
Just like the first of all to say, Brian Rowan's assessment of the actual situation was great, a great journalist. Now, the other point I was going to make, Stephen, was that it may come up in the programme about the fact that the car was sitting there for 2 hours and people were driving past it before the police took action. But the thing about it was, whoever planted the bomb, surely they have a mechanism where they could ring up and say, give a code and say, look, there's an unexploded bomb being left, so people would get a clear warning. But some of the people who drove past before that warning was given, if that thing hadn't gone off, the devastation, you know.
And we come back to the question, Gerry and Paul, how do we stop this? Does it need to be intelligence-led policing? Is that going to be... Of course, there will be condemnation, Paul Given, from the community and yourselves, but these people simply don't listen to that. They don't care.
No, they don't. And what they need to see is that the political institutions are settled. They're working. That isn't going to change, and their efforts aren't going to take us back. And whenever they try to do this type of activity to leverage whatever kind of political input that they want to have, we need to show that that won't work. We need to demonstrate that when the IRA did this in the past, they didn't have popular support, and it had to be through the power of the people by saying, we're not going to compromise our principles so that the IRA can get its way. And we made it clear that they had to sign up to democratic norms and support the police. they've done that. That's good. I welcome that. And these dissidents need to have the same message that we're not going to change our position on these democratic fundamentals. And the only way that they can engage, if they're going to engage in society, is through the means of everybody else and put themselves before the electorate and see if they can get any support.
Just before you both go this morning, and 08459 555 678, as you're listening to the programme today, if you want to pick up the phone, the text 81771, the email nolan@bbc.co.uk. Paul, I want to ask you about what your leader, and Jerry, get your reaction to, Paul, given what your leader, Peter Robinson, said at the weekend on Inside Politics about the Mays prison. He said it will be a mecca for tourists. Have a listen to this.
The Mays Longcash site not only will have that new facility, which is going to be built and will cost about £20 million, but it's going to be a mecca for tourists. There's going to be business in there. There's going to be great opportunity for people. The Royal Ulster Agricultural Society is moving in there. It's going to be a really exciting development.
Well, Paul, Jim Allister, the TUV leader, has said the following. After a weekend of fawning over the Belfast Agreement in Dublin and offering comfort to McGuinness, the DUP leader has taken to lauding the Provo project at the Mays.
Well, I want to engage with serious politicians, not those that will snipe from the sidelines. What Peter Robinson has articulated is that the Mays site does have huge potential. It's twice the size of the Titanic Quarter. It's centrally located within Northern Ireland, but all of the people of Northern Ireland can benefit from it. I was there on Saturday at the Mays site where the Festival of Speed was organising an all-day event of motorsports, and there were thousands of people at it from across the province, from the Republic of Ireland, and we had the Ulster Aviation Society there and the hangars that have been retained, and the public were getting access to this site and enjoying the day.
But so, Peter Robinson was talking about the Conflict Resolution Centre at the Mays, wasn't he? And to a certain extent, Paul, there's going to be storytelling. If it's going to be a mecca for tourists, there's going to be storytelling about the past in Northern Ireland from that site. That's what tourists are going to be interested in. Now, which story? Whose angle on the story is right? How do you do that?
Well, let's have a
factual
story.
Or do we tell both stories?
Well, let's have the facts put before the people whenever they go to visit that site as to who was housed here. And from my perspective, I come from a prison officer's family, and I know exactly the price that was paid for those men and women that served, 29 of whom lost their lives. And their story has been forgotten. And this is an opportunity where people can actually realise that this is the sacrifice that was made by those individuals working in this type of environment. So let's have the story told. And everyone agrees that we never want to go back to what it was like with the H blocks or during the hunger strike periods. So people can come and learn from Northern Ireland's experiences and make sure that it doesn't happen again.
Are you happy that the hospital where Bobby Sands died would be included in this?
That doesn't present a problem to me. That is a factual historical account of what happened, and the facts need to be told without any type of glorification whatsoever. That is something that wouldn't be tolerated, and indeed that's something that I haven't heard people advocate that they want to happen.
But in the past, Paul, many of your colleagues said that they would be against a shrine for tourists, that they thought that this would become a shrine for terrorists.
That's absolutely correct, and I'm of the same position. That's why we've ensured that this site, the First Minister, does have an ultimate veto in terms of what is happening at this site, and I'm confident that the First Minister will ensure that there is no glorification or shrine ever takes place at the Mays. So,
and I dare say, Gerry Kelly, the Deputy First Minister, will have something to say about this.
Well, the Deputy First Minister has made it clear, as have many ex-prisoners, ex-Republican prisoners, that nobody's looking for a shrine here. I mean, this is a very positive story. This is a negative place which has been turned into a very positive thing. You asked earlier about what story should be told. Everybody's story should be told. And what stops someone like Paul Girvan or his father giving a story and me giving a story and people looking at both of them and and taking it from different points of view. I think the fact that there is a meeting of minds, that it has taken so long to come to this point, is a very positive positive thing, and we should move ahead in that. Just before I move off the other issue, just let me say, you know, one of the things, I wouldn't take it for granted that we're, you know, not having an impact on people in terms of these distant issues. They are people. You will have an impact. And one of the things that needs to be done, and I know you do this, Stephen, is continually look to their spokespersons and let them come on and try and defend what was going on, because they're the voices that really need to be heard, and they're the arguments that need to be given to those people.
Okay, Jerry and Paul, thank you very much indeed. Morning to you both.